Shut up and sit down.
Welcome to the Rethinking Football Podcast, where we discuss player development with players, world-renowned scouts, professional football academy directors, coaches, and others. We will use Spain's model and compare it to other national governing bodies in other countries. At the end of each podcast, we will update our theory of change to improve player development worldwide using indicators, best practices, and our own research, along with the opinions and expertise of our guests.
Hey guys, Rethinking Football is sponsored by Prospect Sports International Academy in Spain. If you're a young player, ages 15 to 22, and are interested in playing at the top level in Spain, then go to www.prospectsss.com and click on Programs. Now back to our scheduled programming.
American Jackie Backteller is an assistant coach for Sweden's first division team, Hammarby, in Stockholm, Sweden. She also works at IFK Stocksund, helping American players transition from the U.S. professional women's team to European football. Backteller will discuss her journey as a professional player in the U.S. and her rise to UEFA Women's Champions League. She will also share her thoughts on development both as a coach and as a player.
Why don't we transition, and I'd like to talk a little bit more in depth about your experience in coaching and teaching. Let's start with your experience with Perform to Connect. Can you tell me more about what that program does and what its importance is for you personally?
With Perform to Connect, I started it with my good friend Lolo Shigor, who was also known as Lolo Forsch, and she's played on the Swedish national team. She's played professionally in Sweden and Spain and England, Espanol and Liverpool and Boston for the Boston Breakers. She's played in Australia. She's had an incredible career. We met here in Sweden, and we had the same vision on helping players and developing players and giving players an opportunity. And when she was in the U.S., she saw how many players didn't have an opportunity after college. And so many players asking her, can you help me come overseas to play? In the league, it's a very small league, maybe 20 players per team. And the college system, there's over 37,000 players, 9,000 of them being in Division One. So we want to create a way where we can help players like this come and have a chance to play in Sweden, and create a way that they don't just come here, but we also develop them on the way with strength, with nutrition, with individual training, with mentorship, sports psychology, and so on.
So go ahead.
The biggest thing for us is to help give players an opportunity and create a path to the dream, as well as develop them on the way.
And it sounds like it really is an imperative, particularly for women who have an interest in being professional soccer players, that they have to look internationally. There just aren't enough opportunities within the U.S.
Exactly. And that's one of our biggest values, to give an opportunity. And there is very little opportunity to play after college, and it's sad to me that so many have to retire, and so many great players, they have nowhere to go. So I think it's imperative that the U.S. eventually even starts a second league, a third league, or create something for all these players. I think we could find so much talent, and there's many diamonds out there hiding. And when I've been traveling and going to these different teams, I met some players in Cyprus, from Romania, from Moldavia, the poorest countries, maybe some of the poorest countries on earth, but I found some real true diamonds there that could be some of the best players in Europe. But it's amazing when you find them and when you can develop them.
So what do you think that teams and academies in the U.S. can do to discover those diamonds and to do a better job at identifying and growing the types of players you're talking about?
I think people need to see what players can be, not what they are. See players for what they can be in the future. What is that player's strength? Can I see something? Can I develop that? Maybe Susie's the number one player now, but Tiffany is a little bit behind. But Tiffany's working really hard and, you know, climbs the ladder, but Susie seems the same. How can I find more of these diamonds and develop it? So I think it's really important that we don't just see what's in front of our eyes, but we can see the qualities and the small details in each player and see what they can become rather than what they are.
So you're talking about some pretty high level coaching skills when you talk about seeing what a player can become and not necessarily focusing on what the player's doing today, but seeing the potential in them. So do you think that we have a coaching problem here in the U.S. with sometimes what seems to be a lack of ability to see the potential in players?
I think so. I think it's a problem in the U.S., and I think it's, you know, a problem everywhere in a way, but a big, big problem in the U.S. because we see what's here and now and how can we get success fast. But instead of working on a long-term successful plan, a long-term way to develop players, and then a way in the U.S., it's a lot of money in soccer. It's a lot of, you have to pay a lot of money to get good education. Is that education really good that you're paying for? A lot of times in Europe, it's an honor to be a coach. It's an honor, and many coaches not work for free, but on a very small salary. In the U.S., it's more of a big business as well. It's about a business rather than about the player and really developing the players in the best way.
What do you think are the most important qualities for a coach to have?
I think the coach needs to be very open-minded. The coach needs to be able to adapt quickly and also have a lot of passion and a lot of knowledge and how I can apply and be able to apply this knowledge to the players and be able to be open-minded to apply it in many different ways, because players don't all learn in the same way. And can you be open-minded enough to be able to adapt to different players, different groups, to help them come to their next level?
Do you think that, well, I'm going to make an assertion that for you being a player at the professional level, that has given you an advantage in your coaching role. Can you talk about what you see as the advantages for coaches to have played at the professional level prior to coaching or while coaching as you have?
I think it helps a lot to be a player to coach at a high level, but you don't necessarily need to play a high level to be a great coach. I know some of the best players in the world that aren't very good coaches, and I know I've met some people that haven't played at a high level that are incredible coaches, that have incredible minds and can read the game in such a unique way and really communicate it. I think communication is also one big thing that coaches need to have, how they communicate things to their players. Maybe, for example, I'm coaching players from all over the world. I coach a Moldavian. She can't speak a word of English. I can't speak a word of Moldavian, but we found a way to communicate and connect. One game we had at halftime, I was with her out on the field at halftime, showing her with my whole body, showing with the runs, my movement and so on, yelling at her and pulling her and pushing her, or showing her with music and every way I could. And we found a way to understand. It's how we can communicate it to our players. But I think that's very, very important.
Well, I think it's striking how language has not been a barrier for you in your career, especially given the number of countries that you've worked in where you didn't know the language. So, and you just touched on one way in which you communicated or have communicated with a player, but can you talk a little bit more about that, about how you've overcome language barriers and how you've found a way to communicate effectively with players about the game and about your strategy, even when you can't do it via typical language conversation?
I actually learned this in Spain with Vera Buquete at her camp a few Christmases ago. I was there helping her. No one could really speak English, and you know, I'm used to coaching players that speak another language for me. And one thing that she said, and her team said around her there of this camp, they said, it's amazing because we're all the same with the ball. You can be poor, you can be rich, you can come from different backgrounds, you can speak different languages, but when you come on the field, you're all the same with the ball. And I thought that was beautiful. because it's true. And how I can communicate with players, sometimes it's through clapping. I've used music many times. When I was in Finland, the Finnish Finns, they didn't really like Americans, and if you were in Finland, you had to speak Finnish. So when I had to coach a group of kids that, you know, were Finnish-speaking Finns, and they didn't really like Americans, I said, how can I come through to them? What can I do? So again, I have to adapt. I have to be open-minded. I have to communicate something, and I have to apply my knowledge. And so I took in music, and I created a routine, a technical routine to music, and the kids loved it, and they followed me. I looked up the top Finnish songs, and then after a few sessions, I was able to do actual match-like drills with a high degree of decision-making. And it was all through dance movements. It was all through acting. It was all through just showing my whole body, almost a dance in a way. And same thing in Cyprus. I was communicating by showing, by, you know, moving the players myself physically, by running on the field, by setting up different points. And we were able to communicate, I think, with the same passion. And even sometimes with my pregame speeches in Cyprus, I had one girl that could translate almost to everybody as well if I really needed it. And after, I can't remember what I said, but I got so into this pregame speech, and I looked at her to translate to everybody, and she said, no translation needed. And everyone understood, and I think it was this passion for it, that we shared the same passion, that even though we couldn't speak technically the same language, they knew exactly what I was saying. And it was because on the field we became all the same with the ball. So I think that's extremely important.
I think the passion piece is extremely important. And your passion is apparent even through our conversation. And I know that you're not only passionate about the game, but you're also a student of the game. And there is a real difference between those two things. So how do you think that has influenced your skills with the ball and how you read the game?
I think it's important, and with all my players and even myself, I always said that you have to be a student of the game, and I learned this from Soccer Plus, from Tony. He always said it to us. You have to become a student, a constant student of the game. You have to constantly study it. And when I looked at skills with the ball, I had to train them. I train stuff so simply, but also complex. I love to freestyle and so on, but I train really simple things constantly, and I put it in, I imagined myself, I had a pretty vast imagination that I was on the field, you know, playing with the national team, playing on the Boston Breakers, how it would look, how it would feel, like I could see it almost when I'd be training in my little backyard or my little field out in the middle of nowhere with either a few friends or by myself or even my dad or... and so on. And with the players, I always create a situation for them so they can see it. I always create the exact situation and then build it up to the game. And sometimes I train from the right to the left, and then I put it together in a progression-based pattern. But I think it's so important to constantly study these small details and how can you apply it to the game. And study, okay, how can I'm learning this new skill, but where would it be best suited? How can I put myself in this situation if I'm really good at, scoring off of a cross? How can I put myself in that situation? How can I learn about the speed I should run in, when I should run in, how, what angle I should press, when I should press, when we press together, should we go at the same speed, different speed, so on? And what's the trajectory? If I keep studying all these different things, then it will take my game to next level and also make me more intelligent. And I want my players to be intelligent. I don't want them to be robots. I want them to be able to listen to a structure, but also be intelligent enough to solve the problem and be able to adapt.
Right. And then that sports intelligence takes the game to more of an artful level where they're empowered to play skillfully, but artfully at the same time.
Yes. And that's what makes the game so beautiful. That it's a structure, but it's also, for me, it's a canvas. Even every time when I'm coaching, when I'm able to set up my field, I have a reason for every cone, every section, every player, every detail, what I want to get out of my players. And it's extremely important to be a student of the game and always study the game. And I can tell you, I will always be a student of the game.
If you're enjoying this podcast, we invite you to subscribe. Visit our website at www.prospectss.com. That's prospectsss.com. And follow us on Twitter at RethinkingF. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to subscribe. Visit our website at www.prospectsss.com. That's prospectsss.com. And follow us on Twitter at RethinkingF.
Rethinking Football is sponsored by Prospect Sports International Academy in Spain. If you're a young player, ages 15 to 22, and are interested in playing at the top level in Spain, then go to www.prospectsss.com and click on Programs. Now back to our scheduled programming. One of the things that we talk about with our players quite a bit is what we call positive mental attitude, or PMA, and research shows that that is a key factor in determining whether someone finds success, regardless of what they're applying it to. But of course, what we're talking about in this case is creating a successful career as a footballer. So, and you mentioned previously sort of what you see as some of your strengths, for example, and also some of the things that you have done just to stay with it, just to have that drive to continue towards success. So can you talk a bit about how having a positive mental attitude has helped you to be successful in your career?
I think a positive mental attitude is almost everything, to be honest, because one thing is, if you want to really go for a big dream, such as Champions League, such as playing professionally, you're going to fail. And it's how you react to that failure. And if you can have this, for me, a positive mental state is also how you react to failure. Do you blame others? Do you look inside? Do you go back to the books? Do you go, as we say, do you go back to the, you know, to the field, to the simple, to the basics, to train these small things to come back to the next level? You're going to get knocked down sometimes, but it's how you come back what will determine. And then when you make it as well, how do you react? Do you stop developing? Do you take it in, or do you keep becoming a student of the game, even more student of the game? For me, when you make it, for me, it's like, okay, now the real work begins, and then you run your next race, and now it's the next one, and so on. So I think this attitude is everything. I'm talking a lot about Cyprus, but our attitude there, we had, you know, everyone against us. No one thought we could do what we did there. And we had lost the first game, and every player there in the beginning, they were blaming it on different things, the referee, this and that. And I said, no, we had our chances to win the game. I don't care if the referee was paid off. I don't care if we got a they got a penalty kick. We still had chances to win this game, and we didn't finish our opportunity. So we can't film. We can't do this. We have to fight. We have to just look inside of us and take the responsibility. And we did, and we became extremely successful together as a group. And for me, myself as a player, positive mental imaging as well, I saw myself in successful states. I saw myself scoring. I saw myself coming to my dream, and I still see it now. I imagine myself where I want to be, and I create the way to get there, and I work for that way. I work for that dream.
That's awesome. I wanted to just circle back to one more thing. I know that you're very technical in your skills, and that you're one of the best when it comes to handling the ball. Can you talk a bit more about your personal strengths in play, and what you see as your areas for development, and how you've used your strengths as your asset in your career?
So when I was younger, I was really sick. So my lungs were in pretty bad condition. And it's a long story with what happened, but I wasn't physically able to play in a way, but I still played. So I found that if I became more technical, if I became quicker with my thought and with my feet, I could be faster than anyone on the field. So I I tried to adapt all the time when I was sick, and I knew the more technical I could become, the better player I could be, but technical in a way where I could apply it. And then I fell in love with playing with the ball. Then it became like a dance as well, an art form. I can do almost anything with the ball. And this really brought my game to the next level. And then it was easy for me to teach because I couldn't just do it. I couldn't just say to a player, I want you to do this. I can also show it in perfect technique. So the player can see it, think about it, and do it. And I can put them in that situation. So when I coach, I'm always involved in the drill. I'm not playing, but I'm inside the game when they're playing, or inside the small sided space. And I have to feel the space. I have to see what the players see. And then I can, sometimes the players come up with keys that I don't see, and then I learn something. And then, or other times, of course, most times, I'm showing them where the best space, where is the best space to solve this problem. How can I, okay, now I need to send a little longer ball in this space because of this type of pressure and this signal. What is the signal? What can I look for? So I think because of this extreme addiction to technique I had, it's helped me immensely in my coaching and my playing career. For example, I was not a fast player, but I use my strength to make up for my weakness. I use my technical strength and my quick vision to cover for my lack of speed. And so many coaches would get shocked when they saw my fitness test that I wasn't very fast, because on the field I looked fast. But technically I wasn't. Physically I wasn't.
I think that you make an excellent point about how we all have strengths and we all have weaknesses, and to take those areas that aren't as strong and still use it to your advantage, along with that other piece of positive mental attitude, really is a significant key, I believe, to being successful in the game. So as a final question, Jackie, what's your goal as a coach?
My goal is to coach a top team and to be a Champions League coach. I want to win Champions League, but with this, I want to make a change at the top level. I want to put on a big show and give the freedom of self-expression back to players in creating these masterminds and problem solvers, where the player has the freedom within the team structure to use his or her strength to lift the team, and in return, the team will lift her, and where everyone makes each other look good. I want to put weapons together and create freedom on the field, kind of create like this sexy monster where everyone wants to watch. I really want to put on a show. My family, we talk a lot about the movie The Gladiator.
Right.
And yes, and we talk about, and there's a quote in the movie that says, win the hearts of the mob. And the gladiator says back, I will win the hearts of the mob. I will give them a show they have never seen before. And that's kind of what I want to do. I want to kind of give a show like what Tony did in '99. I want to give back something special, something that everyone will remember. And besides that, I want to carry on Tony's legacy as well and create a dream in creating an environment so players can live that dream.
Well, you are absolutely a warrior in your career, and I think it's been an honor to talk with you today and learn more about you and the work you're doing. It's very exciting.
Thank you. It's been an honor as well to be on this podcast.
Please join us to meet our next amazing guest on the next episode of Rethinking Football.
To access the transcript of this podcast and other archives, please visit our website, www.prospectsss.com, and click on Podcasts. That is prospectsss.com. If you enjoyed this show, subscribe to get the latest episodes directly to your device.
Rethinking Football is sponsored by Prospect Sports International Academy in Spain. If you're a young player that's interested in playing abroad, playing year-round, and improving your skills, you may be interested in joining the academy. Go to www.prospectsss.com and click on programs to learn more and to apply.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at RethinkingF. Rethinking Football's theme song, Actionable, is courtesy of bensound.com.